Welcome to Journal Club for February 8th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. The title of this paper is really good at two things. One, intimidating the reader. And two, itemizing all the concepts we need to understand before we're able to understand this paper. Number one is a shame, but number two is actually useful. So today, we're going to use this horrible title as a roadmap, a checklist of all the pieces of context we need to gather together and review before we're able to turn our attention to the system that the authors designed. Each one of the words in this title is like a jigsaw puzzle piece. It won't be until the end of the episode that the pieces start to come together and the whole picture starts to make sense. So bear with me, it's going to be a journey. Looking back up at the title now, I want to start in the middle. What's an INSAR satellite? What do they do? Once we get a grasp of that, the problem space will start to crystallize, and we'll have set the stage for the solutions to those problems. Interferometric Synthetic Aperture Radar, or INSAR, satellites are a specialized class of Earth observation satellites. So they're a kind of camera that is pointed back at Earth. They are designed to capture high-resolution surface displacement measurements. In other words, they measure the amount that Earth's surface shifts over time. They do this by leveraging the principles of radar interferometry. Traditional optical imaging satellites, the ones that just take normal photos, use visible light. That means that their photos are affected by cloud cover and whether or not the sun is shining on the place they're trying to photograph. INSAR satellites don't do that. They use microwave signals instead, because they can penetrate atmospheric conditions and collect data regardless of weather or illumination. The term interferometric refers to the technique of combining signals from two or more radar observations to measure phase differences. This allows for the detection of minute changes in Earth's surface. By precisely measuring the time delay between emitted and reflected pulses, INSAR systems can construct detailed elevation models and detect shifts as small as a few millimeters. They are used to monitor seismic activity, track glacier movements, assess infrastructure stability, and detect subsidence in urban areas. An INSAR system is a whole cluster of satellites all working together. The system as a whole will have a mission, such as imaging a specific region at a specific time, and multiple satellites will pitch in to get this done. They often operate in coordinated formations, with a chief satellite orchestrating the observation process while deputy satellites assist in coverage. The objective is to maximize the efficiency of satellite resources while adhering to the constraints of orbital mechanics, imaging capacity, power consumption, and data transmission. Operationally, this comes down to a problem of what's called task scheduling. Task scheduling in this domain refers to the problem of assigning imaging and data collection tasks to available satellites in a way that optimally utilizes their resources while meeting mission objectives. This involves determining three things. One, which satellite should observe a target? Two, at what time? And three, using which imaging parameters? Now, before we move on, let's look back up at the title for a second. There's a big chunk of words in the middle which should make more sense now. Task scheduling for Earth observation INSAR satellites. You now know what INSAR satellites are, you get why they're observing the Earth, and you know what task scheduling is. Okay, back to the story. Traditionally, this kind of task scheduling process considers a single objective, like maximizing the number of successfully completed tasks or minimizing the time required to complete a set of observations. But in real-world scenarios, multiple conflicting objectives may need to be balanced. This gives rise to the need for multi-objective task scheduling. Multi-objective task scheduling is exactly what it sounds like. It expands on traditional task scheduling by simultaneously optimizing multiple performance criteria. This could be things like maximizing the imaging benefits, or prioritizing high-value observations, or minimizing conflicts between satellites, or ensuring efficient data transmission, or any combination of those. But here's the thing. Optimizing one objective comes at the expense of another. So multi-objective scheduling requires advanced optimization algorithms to identify trade-offs between competing factors. And in the case of INSAR satellites, these objectives must also be reconciled within the global constraints that we talked about earlier. limited satellite resources, orbital dynamics, ground station availability for data downloads, etc. Okay, hold on, let's pause again. Just want to point out, we now understand the first two words of the title as well, multi-objective. So we understand everything in the title, all the way into the word VIA. Everything before VIA is about the problem space and the category of the solution. Everything after VIA is about the specific implementation of the solution. Before we can look at those specific algorithms, though, we need to understand what those algorithms are going to be applied to. So, we have a vague problem right now, but we don't have any formal structure that could be solved in any meaningful way. So that's why the authors needed to model the problem formally before they could implement the solutions. And for that, they used the CSP framework. CSP stands for Constraint Satisfaction Problem. In a CSP, a set of decision variables must be assigned values while satisfying a set of constraints that define feasible solutions. In our context today, the decision variables include, as I mentioned earlier, the selection of satellites for specific tasks, the timing of those tasks, and the allocation of satellite resources to those tasks. The constraints ensure that 1. No two conflicting missions are assigned to the same satellite simultaneously, 2. Satellite energy and operational limits are respected, and 3. That observation tasks are scheduled within valid mission time windows. The CSP conceptual framework is particularly useful for satellite scheduling because it allows for systematic constraint propagation, which reduces the number of infeasible solutions early in the planning process. The authors constructed this challenge as a multi-objective constraint satisfaction model, meaning that the goal was not just to find feasible schedules, but also to optimize objectives like maximizing observation benefits and minimizing conflicts. This formulation sets up the problem for optimization, massaging it into a structure that can now be solved with an algorithm. For this, the authors employed a modified version of SPBO, the Student Psychology-Based Optimization Algorithm. SPBO is a meta-heuristic optimization algorithm that is inspired by how students improve their academic performance. It operates by categorizing individuals, so students, into four types based on performance: best students, good students, ordinary students, and students who randomly attempt improvement. The algorithm mimics the learning behaviors of these students to iteratively refine solutions. Best students act as local leaders, refining their performance, their solutions, through self-improvement and competition. Good students attempt to catch up by focusing on specific areas, akin to directed learning strategies. Ordinary students make incremental improvements by mimicking better performing peers. And the last group randomly tries to improve, which introduces diversity into the search space and helps the algorithm avoid local optima. This process ensures a balance between exploitation, that is, refining good solutions, and exploration, discovering new solutions. But I mentioned that it was a modified version of that. So how did they modify it? The authors modified SPBO by incorporating non-dominated sorting, NDS. This transformed it from SPBO into NSSPBO, the non-dominated sorting student psychology-based optimization algorithm. In multi-objective problems, a solution is considered non-dominated if no other solution is strictly better in all objectives. The non-dominated sorting, NDS, process organizes solutions into what are called Pareto fronts, or Pareto fronts, depending on who you ask how to pronounce that. This is a kind of tiered ranking. In this kind of presentation, the first front consists of solutions that are not dominated by any others. The second front consists of solutions dominated only by those in the first front, and so on and so forth. Within each front, solutions are further ranked based on crowding distance. This is a measure that favors diversity by ensuring solutions are evenly distributed across the objective space. By integrating NDS into SPBO, the authors enabled the algorithm to handle multi-objective trade-offs more effectively, ensuring that it did not overly optimize one objective at the expense of others. So, how do they test any of this? Well, they used a series of numerical simulations. They tested the algorithm under different mission scales and compared its performance against two well-established multi-objective optimization algorithms, NSGA2 and SPEA2. They conducted the simulations in MATLAB on an HPC setup. As their North Star metric, they primarily looked at the hypervolume index, HV. This is a measure that quantifies the spread and convergence of Pareto optimal solutions. A higher HV index indicates that the algorithm is achieving better optimization across multiple objectives. The results demonstrated that this new algorithm, the NSS-PBO algorithm, outperformed both of the others, particularly in large-scale scheduling scenarios. That being said, when the number of observation missions was relatively small, all three algorithms achieved similar scores. It was only as the mission size increased that NSS-PBO established a notable advantage. So with all that under our belt, let's return to the title one last time. And if you look, you'll see that we now covered everything after VIA as well. So we've got the whole thing down now. Multi-objective task scheduling for Earth observation INSAR satellites via non-dominated sorting student psychology-based optimization algorithm. Based on what we know now, we can parse it in our heads to mean something like the following. Earth monitoring satellites need to coordinate their tasks so that each one is taking their microwave readings at the right time. They need to balance a lot of competing goals, and they do that in a way that's inspired by how students try to get better grades. When they're left with a lot of options, they group the possibilities together based on how good and diverse they are. And there you have it. Still a big, terrible title, but you got through it. If you want to dig deeper into any of the formulas or algorithms from this article, then I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.